So the sugya that we're still in is understanding the Seder of Melechus HaMishkan. That the Kiyor, right, is the one kli that's missing, right, is put in this week's parsha. Right, so first of all, it's not in Parshas Truma where it should be Ikar be, because that's the Parsha of all the Kalim, right? It's not even in Ki in Tetzav where it might be Samuch to the Mizbach HaKtiris. Right, it's put in Parshas Kisisa, but not directly after Mizbeach HaKtiris. But the Torah is mafsik, you know, with the tzivui of machzis hashekel, which is mamash shalom mina inyan, seemingly. And of course, it's related because they use that money to buy korbanos, but it's not, you know, if we're talking about right now the construct of the Mishkan. So Torah is mafsik in machzis hashekel, which is eno mina inyan klal. Then gets back to the kior, and then gets back to keteris, right? You know, goes in first is the spices that go in the Shemra Mishka, and then the Keteris Mamish. Like, so really the proper order would have been like this: to put the Kior in Parshas Truma with all the other Kalim, right? And if for reasons that we explained last week, if the part of the Mizbach HaKeteris had to be in Parshas Tetzaveh, for reasons that we explained, so you would think that it should be to be Mas, so Kior Bechlal should be in Parshas Truma. It should be right after the Mizbach HaKeteris, so open up Parshas Kisisa with the Keteris, right? And then get to Machzis HaShekel. Right, so we have to understand the Seder, that the Torah was Mafsik in Gansen with Machzis HaMishkan with Machzis HaShekel, then went to the Kior, and then got back to the Keteris. That's our in. Right, so now another thing that we asked is that after Melechus HaMishkan in this week's parasha is the tzivui of Shabbos. So Rashi says, you know, when it comes to teach you, even though you're going to be very zealous about Melechus HaMishkan, right, be sure to keep the Shabbos. But Rashi in next week's parsha, Parshas Vayakel, points out that when Moshe Rabbeinu was, Makil, Klal Yisrael together, so he tells him about Shabbos and then Melechus HaMishkan, and why, for the, to teach you, right, that Shabbos is not nidchid by Melechus HaMishkan. So the Hakdama of Shabbos to Melechus HaMishkan, right, is to teach you that the Mishkan is not Doch Shabbos. But we see from this week's parasha that it doesn't have to be that way. Right, in this week's parasha, we have Shabbos after Melechus HaMishkan, and the Torah says, Ach, es Shabbos, but keep the Shabbos. Meaning Melechus HaMishkan is not Doch Shabbos. So it's not Bechreach that Melechus HaMishkan has to be, that Shabbos has to be said before Melechus HaMishkan, to teach you that it's not Doicha Shabbos, who a dynamic be after, right? As per this week's parsha, Elamai, there are Bechinot Chalukot, which we're going to explain. This is going to be one of the mainly discussed in next week's shir, right? But for this week, I'll call upon him to understand the Bechina of when Shabbos is said after Melechus HaMishkan, Le'umat, and when it said before Melech HaMishkan in next week's parasha. But this issue of the relation between Shabbos and Melech HaMishkan is not going to be fully discussed in this particular shir. It's going to be finished off in next week's shir, but we're going to start. All right, just understanding the contrast that in Kisisa, it's Melech HaMishkan then Shabbos, and Achas Shabbos, but don't be Mechal Shabbos. Lumat in Parshas Vayakel, it's keep Shabbos and then and the fact that Shabbos is first is the limud, that Melech HaMishkan is not Deicha Shabbos.
Is the Rav saying that Be'etzem, what Rashi's saying here, that you shouldn't be overzealous, as he put it, and next week that it isn't Docha? That basically is the same idea in Rashi.
Same halacha.
Yeah.
I think it's the same halacha.
Yeah.
Okay. Just, but I'm saying Rashi over there says that
I hear it's a little bit different Russian. I didn't know whether there was some subtlety in Rashi, the way Rashi.
No, because he wants to be Yashiv with the fact that it's
before
the
or after. After.
Even though you're very zealous, Achashabot, Shabsosai Tishma. But as he says, the fact that it's mukdam is what teaches you.
Yeah.
All right. These are bechinot chalukot that we're gonna, explain more next week. But hopefully we're gonna start. Right. This doesn't necessarily have to be enumerated as one of the opening kashas, but we are gonna touch upon it in course of this year. So now, the other main topic of our parsha, right, is the Chet HaEgel and Shviras HaLuchas, and of course the tikkun that happens thereafter. So we have to
understand. The Rav is using Lashon Sagi Nahor about the Tikkun. You mean killing all the people who are involved? Is that what the Rav?
No. The Luchos Shnius.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. So now we have to understand why they're all in the same parsha, right? In Parshas Kisisa, the Torah lumped together these aspects of the Mishkan. Uh-huh. Shmira Shabbos, and then the whole sugya after that is Chet HaEgel and trying to pick up the pieces, literally. Pick up the pieces from Shviras HaLuchos and, pull it all back together. Kol Shekein Lefi Shitas Rashi, in this week's parsha, that says Mefurish, right? Rashi is of the Shita that historically, Rashi is one of the Shita that holds that historically the whole Tzivui Melech HaMishkan came after Chet HaEgel.
Right.
As I always mentioned already a few times, there's a machloikas, so like Rashi for sure, it needs more of an explanation. Bishlam, like the other sheets, we could just say the Torah is going in chronological order. After the Tzivui of the Mishkan, Klal Yisrael sinned, and this is actually one of the Mefarshim on Rashi asked, why couldn't Rashi just say this? The Tzivui of the Mishkan is happening during the 40 days of Moshe Benus in the mountain, right? And that's when Kleistel sinned, and he comes down, he sees, and then the Parsha's Mityashev in his perfect historical order, but that's not Shitas Rashi. Right? Yeah, that's what one of the Mefarshim on Rashi asked on Rashi. Why couldn't Rashi just say, the reason why it's all together is, very simple. The Tzivui was in the 40 days, he was in the mountain, and that's when Kleistel did it on the 40th day. So after he got the last, installment of the Ketores and they did it. He came down, he saw it, my baya. Right. So that's where you could say Lefi the other Shitas that hold that, the Tzivu Melech HaMishkan was gonna happen even if there wouldn't have been an Egel. But like Rashi, the Kasha is even stronger.
Right.
Why are these all in one parsha? The Torah was, put this, these inyonim of the Mishkan was koved before Chet HaEgel. Right. According to Rashi, it's a mamash big kasha. Not that it's also ha'ara like the other, that's why they should all be in the same parasha. Right? So the Indian is like this. So, at the end of last year, we mentioned, something that needs a little bit more of harchava, that the inyan of the keteres is bigger than the adam. It's bigger than the hasagas of the adam. We touched upon it, briefly, and maybe we should recap that, what the hasaga, what the keteres is keneged, right? The fragrance, right? The deeper havana that goes beyond where the eyes reach. We mentioned, en l'dayim mashen of rose, but Mashiach will be morach v'doyin. You can even smell and judge. The special depth that there is in the smell, that's connected how it smells, mamash, a sense of the neshama, whether as the guf is a partner in the other four of the five senses. Gemara says, the pleasure of the smell is a pleasure of the neshama. It's a depth to smell, and that's the inyan of the keteres, that this is connected, the deep perception of everything is kashur to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we explained. Even the kochos hara serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are not shtei rishuyas. We explained already, the Malcha Mavis Dafka was the one that explained to Moshe Rabbeinu the segulas of the keteres. And that's part of the angel's submission to Moshe Rabbeinu, so the Malcha Mavis also wanted in. And then he was Megal Sar Keteres. Keteres was also, the Ra also is kashur to the Tov. And that's rumors in the 11th spice, the Chelbana, that Recho Ra, and that's also even in Tanis Tzibur, Shemem Parsha, Tanis Tzibur, Kayadua. And this is a darga that's above human intelligence, because human intelligence is Toifis, the Tov and the Ra, as opposites and irreconcilable. Which is a good perception to... useful perception to do our job correctly, of being sur meira v'asei tov, but it's not the emes. It's the right perception for our job. But the emes is bigger than our hasagas and bigger than what our job is, because ba'omek ha'inyan, everything comes from Ribono Shel Olam. Right. And that's the Avodah Keteres, and the Avodah Keteres is lamala from the Adam. That's why the Avodah Keteres is called Avodah B'chashai, right? It's secret. But in Kol Shekein, the Avodah Keteres is what's done lifnai v'lifnim, which is beyond where the Adam reaches. And we mentioned from the Maharal that the Yevonim, with their Seichel Enoshi, only were Sholet on the Heichel. We find they were Metame the Heichel, that's the Lashon Chazal. That the Maharal points this out, right? So he says, because, Heichol's Gematria 65, says the Maharal, Yovan's Gematria 66, right? One more than the Heichol, but as the Maharal points out, they're only showing on the Chitzonius of the Heichol, right? The Pnimius of the Heichol, right? Which is Mushpa from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Kohanim feel that, and that's why Kohen is Gematria 75. 65 and plus the hidden Yud of Kedusha. Heichol, the Rav Maharal says, is there's a yud, a hidden yud mitzad the tzere, the pronunciation of the word. You have a yud mitzad the pronunciation, mitzad the nikud, and the yud that's mamish from the actual spelling of the word. And that's, so with the hidden yud, it's heichol from Gosu 75, which is the gematria kohen, and that's why the kohanim were the ones that fought off the Yevonim, because the kohanim, even though their ikra avodah is in the heichol, but they perceive the pnimius of the Heichol, which is the Shefa that comes into the Heichol from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And that scene of that Pach Shemen that the Yevonim couldn't get was Munach B'chotmo Shel Kohen Gadol, says the Maharal, because the Kohen Gadol goes Lifnai V'Lifnim. And the Chochma Enoshit can only reach the Chitzonius of the Heichol. But the Madrega of Kodesh HaKadoshim is beyond the Chochma Enoshit. And that's why when the Kohen Gadol went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to do the Keteres, right? So we brought away from the Yushami and the Zohar that he was b'madregas Malach, not b'madregas Adam. Right.
What was the Gematria of 66 that the Heichal is?
Heichal 65. Yovan is 66.
And what's that supposed to show us?
That's why they were able to be metame de hechol. The sechol enoshi could reach beyond the hechol, but only beyond the chitzonius of the hechol. The primus of the hechol that is mushpa from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which of course the letter yud, we've said many times, is the letter of kedusha, and that's the hidden yud of hechol. That's the gematria of kohen. Kohen is 75. The kohanim b'nei chashmonai feel in the hechol the kedusha of the Kodesh HaKadoshim that permeates it, and that's why they were able to kick the avonim out of the hechol. So even though the kohanim don't walk in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but they perceive the kedusha of the Kodesh HaKadoshim that's mitpashet in the hechol, and that's why they had the koach to kick the avonim out of the hechol. As the word kohanim feel the influence that the Kodesh HaKadoshim has on the hechol. And that's the common denominator between the hechol and the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the Ketores. That's the Ketores is in the hechol, and the Ketores of the daily, and there's the Ketores of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But that's also the kunz of, you know, the Yevonim, they didn't reach the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It was just they were oblivious to it, because it's lamala from Hasaga and Noshit. And the Kohen Gadol, who does go in, so the oil that was munach b'chotbo shel Kohen Gadol had the influence of the Kohen Gadol, which goes with Nai v'Fnim. That's why they couldn't find that jug of oil. It wasn't a coincidence. Right? Because that jug of oil was connected to the koach of Kohen Gadol. Munach b'chotbo shel Kohen Gadol. It's not the koach of lifnai v'lifnim, which is above sechol and noshit, which, you know, the Yevonim were the biggest in sechol and noshit. Right? So, but it goes back to this inyan, that the k'tiris is the inyan of lamala from sechol and noshit. Right? So it's lomi baya the Ketores that's burnt. It's also the Maharal writes elsewhere. No, I think also in the Ner Mitzvah. Actually, it also says in the Or Chodesh. You know, the Ikar Remes to Mordechai, Vakachachla B'Samim Rosh Mor Dror. It was actually the spices put in the Shemen Amishcha. Right, but it's the same board, right? Shemen Amishcha elevates. Is, you know, it's Moshech that, you know, that's what was Mekadesh the Kalim. So again, the of the fragrance is beyond, and that's why that's what gives the shemen, the din of shemen amishcha, the Maharal says, and that's why the shemen elevates and pulls up. So the fragrance, so that's the common denominator, you know, the fragrance of the shemen amishcha, the fragrance of the Ketores is all connected to the dargo that's lamala. So heavy aimer that, you know, the avoida of Ketores, shares a common denominator with the Shemen Amishcha, right? The fragrance of that, right? This is all connected, you know, what's considered lamala from the Darga of the Adam, right? It's bigger than the person. Rebosh wants to give us something that's bigger than us, and that's good, because that way we'll become bigger. Right? That was shaykhus to what's bigger than us. Right? So it's a dover nifla mode. Right? That after the Torah introduced the Mizbach HaKetores in Parshas Tetzaveh, the end of Parshas Tetzaveh, right? Explaining, you know, outlining what the full potential of the Mishkan is. That the Mishkan is now to give us madregas that are not just makbil, parallel to the Adam, but even, you know, the Adam HaMetukan, right? But also to give us dargas that are superhuman. Right? That's what, you know, that the idea of that's what the Mishkan is about. Right? And that's introduced with the Mizbach HaTorah, you know. This Mishkan is not going to just be metaken the tzelem, that's the inyan of the kelim, the other kelim, tikun atzelem, right, and then the beged, tikun alavushim, right, but it's also going to give you dargas that are bigger than you, and it will also bring a chalois of even higher madregas, right? So the question is, in what way are those madregas chal on the Adam? How can the Adam hold something that is bigger than him? That is the question that needs to be answered.
That's a very
simple, straightforward, logical, and philosophical question. What, in what way can a man hold what's bigger than himself? And that's what the Torah opens up. Ki tisas rosh b'nei Yisrael. Right? Says the Medrash Rabbah, Moshe Rabbeinu asked, B'ma teromem karnam shel Yisrael? How are you going to raise up Klal Yisrael? And that Rebosh Rabbeinu answered, Ki tisa. They have Nesius Roish. Nesius Roish is the Inyan of having something over your head. Ki tisas rosh b'nei Yisrael. The first half of the parasha is coming to explain, right, how the Adam is capable of having Nesius Rosh, which is this Inyan of having Madregas that are over his head, Nesius Rosh, raising up the head high, you know, higher than where it naturally reaches, raising the head, reaching Dargas that are over your head, Nesius Rosh, right? Oh, so now with this, and that's what needs to be explained first before we come to the Keteris Bepal. Right, we introduce the concept that there's of the Mizbach Haktaris. There are Madregas that are going to be, you get Madregas that are even beyond. So now the question is, how can the Adam hold these Madregas? And that's what the Torah comes to answer. Ki tisas rosh b'nei Yisrael. Medrash says that ki tisas nesius rosh mamish. Rosh Hashanah asked, "B'mater roimem karnam shel Yisrael," and Rosh Hashanah answered, "Kitisa, b'kitisa." The end of Machzis Hashem. And with this, we're coming to a different mahalach, not in contradiction to what we said in Parshas Mishpatim, but another aspect of the end of Machzis Hashekel, which will be another angle. On the Inyan of why ha'asher lo yarbe v'adal lo yamit. Right. We're going now on the etzem word shekel. Right. This coin is called shekel. Right. And it's machatzis ha'shekel, half a shekel. Right. Shekel means to weigh. Now, to weigh, right, is also, it's not just a physical action, it is a mental activity. Particularly associated with what we call das. There's chachma, and there's bina, and there's das. So chachma, you know, that's what you hear from your Rebbe. That's information that you've gathered. Bina is what you figure out for yourself, and then there's das. Das is now how to weigh out the situation. That's why you find, you know, in Chazal and in Peskim, a lashon of shikul hadas. There could be a ta'ut b'shikul hadas. Now, ta'ut b'shikul hadas is not the same as toeh b'dvar mishnah. Toeh b'dvar mishnah means you're not a chacham. You don't know your stuff. You don't know, you know, right? And there's not a ta'ut b'dvar mishnah, which is a pegia in chachma, right? There's something called ta'ut b'shikul hadas, right? Right. But the etzem musad, the etzem expression, I mean to say, of shikul hadas, right? That the das, you know, weighs out the situation, right? Right, it's also find the Maharal that he says das is keneged psak halacha. He says the Maharal says chachma is keneged torah shebichsav, and bina is keneged torah shebaal peh. All the pilpul das is keneged psak halacha. Psak halacha is weighing out the situation. There's x and y and z svaros l'schus, and x and y is a b c svaros. L'chayva, and the psak is to weigh it out, and this is what you do. And that's also a bar das, you know, weighs out every situation, right, to know how to conduct himself accordingly.
The Rav gave a mushel for Shikul Hadas in the Shir, which I thought was rather good. Does anyone remember? No, I didn't. Libud. Like in everyday life, a certain situation. Can't remember what it was now. He gave like a very down to earth way of understanding the concept of Shikul Hadas, not related dafke to Torah in Yonim as much as just, you know, like everyday life.
Yeah, I don't remember what I said this year. Maybe you could help me, but I do remember what I wrote in my Sefer, that Rav Huttner's mashal for a person who has no das. Rav Huttner's mashal said a guy walks in, you know, to a base oval.
Yeah, the Rav talked about this one other time before, many weeks ago, right?
You know, Bermuda shorts, you know, right. Ray-Ban, and right. Mitzvah Gedol Yom Simcha, and, you know, right. And even if he's in hell, it's the best thing for him, you know.
Right.
It's kapara, right? You know, so that's a, you know.
No Shikul Hadas.
That's no Shikul Hadas, like being totally detached from the reality of the situation. But Das is to lay out the situation. No, yeah, whatever. Okay, now I can't remember what I said. You know, you want to... Right, you want to, you know, someone's annoying you, right? So now, on the one hand, if you confront him, on the one hand, you know, maybe he'll stop, you know, but he'll have hard feelings because, you know, it came down too hard. But if you're too soft, you know, he won't stop doing
right.
it, you know, but you'll still, okay. But you won't ruin your relationship with him, right? So, you know, the pool of das is to weigh out the factors and then come up with the proper course of action. And this is the pu'ula that's parallel to psak halacha. And that's what, you know, Chazal mean, tot b'shikul adas. You know, that was, you know, it doesn't mean a man did amaratzis. That's tot b'dvar mishnah. Tot b'dvar mishnah is mamash, you know, tos gomer. Right? You know, there's a chilek in halacha between tos and shikul adas and a tos in dvar mishnah. Right? Shikul adas, he didn't weigh it out correctly. You know. So it's not the same type of toes, Kayadua. Toe bidvar mishnah, mamish to psak's bottle. It's like nothing. Right. And that's the pool of psak halacha. And that's also the pool of bechira, really. You know, bechira weighs out, you know, the two sides, you know, and then you choose. You know. And that's all related to the das. But here's the amazing thing, right? Here's the amazing thing, right? And this is a very, very, very important point, right? Right, so since Das, but before we get to this important point, let's just build up a little more. Since Das is a pool of weighing out, so that, as you know, your scale has to be balanced. Not just the pshat, you have to be honest in your weights and measures. The machine called the scale has to be perfectly balanced. If the central rod is neiter more to the right than to left, it's not going to be a good balance. It's only a good balance if it's exactly in the middle. Right? So now we're talking about not the weights and measures, we're talking about the machine called the scale. Right? In the Odom, that's the Etzem Nekuda of Das, right? The weights and measures, you know, I mean, this is between me and you. I don't know if you have to get so technical with the reader. But, you know, if Mitzad the Odom, we're talking about the internal scale. The weight and measures, work. That's important to have accurate weights and measures. So that's learning the Sugyas well. So that those are the weights and measures that you put on a scale. But you have to be Bori in your Das, that the CPU, central processing unit, and Kilishoina, central processing, has to be exactly center. If a person is off, if the scale is broken, even working with the most accurate weights and measures is not going to help. Because if the central rod is too far to the right, not exactly in the middle, so even working with the most accurate, the measurements are going to be false. because the scale is broken, even though the weights that you're using are good weights. You know, the Tzvei did it. People often, you know, some people have a healthy mind, but they work with wrong weights and measures because of their ignorance. But we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about hafuch, right? That, you know, that even the best weights and measures will give you wrong measurements if the etzem machine called the scale is off center.
I don't know if it can be compared to like hardware and software in a computer. The scale, the center rod being the hardware.
If you I use the marshal, the CPU, even though I don't exactly know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Central
it's a similar
processing
idea.
Unit.
Right. A similar idea.
Yeah,
the so saying you can have all the tochna in the world, but if the machine itself isn't functioning properly, so the tochna, that stuff will give you all skewed information as a result.
That's right. So now I'm talking about the etzem koach shkila, the etzem koach two way, as opposed to the weights and measures, the etzem koach two way, which in the Arum is called the mida of das. Then there's the weights and measures that you put on that scale, which is libun halacha. You have to make sure to take your sources, you know, from reliable sources. Those are your weights and measures, the sugyas, right? Gemara and Rishonim, not like making things up, right? But I'm not talking about, you know, the weights and measures, which should come from Mekorot Ne'emanim. I'm talking about the Odom Gufa, the Bar Das. The Bar Das has to have a balanced scale that he's working with. That's the Indian of Machtzis HaShekel. Be exactly at half point. Half point means center. Machtzis HaShekel is the Indian that the Machtzis HaShekel is keneged Klal Yisrael being zeiche to the mida of having das. Perfect balanced das. And in this, ha'osher lo yarbe va'ada lo yamit. It's niflamot. So, you know, so in the Beis Yaakov from Ishbitza says, right, ha'osher lo yarbe, right, don't be overconfident. Va'ada lo yamit means don't be underconfident. The person's nekuda of das should be exactly point center. Overconfidence throws it off, and underconfidence throws it off. And that's Asher Lo Yarvav Dal Yomit says Asher Lo shouldn't have too much bitachon in his koach, and a Dal Yomit shouldn't go into Yiush, right? You know. One can even understand in very earthy terms that a rich man might think that he doesn't have to work things out totally accurately because he has enough money to make up for his mistakes, right? But that's not the end of Machtzis HaShekel. The end of Machtzis HaShekel is Am Yisrael through that is being zeiche to the Midah of Das. The Midah of Shikul HaDas. That's the Zgula of giving Machtzis HaShekel. And Mitzad that everyone's equal. It's about through giving the Machtzis HaShekel as it were Am Yisrael is being meiser their Shikul Das to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, because you're meiser to me, the Baruch Hu is mezakeh you to have a healthy Shikul Adas. And that's called Nesius Rosh. You've raised up your head. Now, what does that mean? So, a Dover Nifla about being balanced, right, is that you could put a lot of weight on something if it's perfectly balanced. If something is unbalanced and you put some weight on it, it'll bend and snap. Now, dok v'tishkach, the davar nifla mod, that even like very thin things, if it's perfectly balanced, you could pile up a tremendous amount. If it's all perfectly balanced, it could hold it. If it's off balance, or if the thing itself is off balance, it bends and snaps.
There's got to be some kind of a ratio or principle that expresses that idea, because I know exactly what the Rav is talking about. I'm just wondering if in science there's some name given to such a principle.
Probably. That's a good question for you, I'm sure. You know, he's a physicist.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can consult with him on this. But here's the Nakuda. So even though Adas generally means what you understand very well, what you've internalized, right? Even though that's what it generally means, and it means that also here. However, if a person is zeicha to be a big bar das, right, which means, you know, being perfectly balanced in his das, you could pile up on him hasagot that he does not fully understand because they're beyond him, but he will not go wrong with it because he's balanced. Person who's a big bar das, even if the das is not yet makif and not able to internalize these hasagas, but since he's a big bar das, he won't mishandle these hasagas. He'll be able to walk with them and work with them until he could internalize them. At that point, you will pile upon him even higher hasagas that he'll have to work with until he internalizes. But he can work with it. He can go with it because he's balanced.
Is the Rav saying something like a chok or some other thing, maybe even worse than that, something that's to the Sechel Enoshi not illogical in mitzvahs, that he'll be able to perform that with a better...
Even if the Sechel can't take it in, which is, you know, generally the pool of das as opposed to emunah, and right. We're really getting into the relationship between emunah and das. Emunah is what's lemala me'asechol, and das is what's been internalized. Okay. But you could pile on the das things that are be'emunah, and it can go if the das is balanced, because
right.
He'll have enough das not to mishandle, because he's balanced. He won't mishandle what's been thrust upon him. Right? You know, simple mushel, a very heavy crown. Very heavy crown, it goes on top of the head, right? Keep the head straight, it won't hurt. And you lean a little bit to the side, you'll find the crown will topple, you know, right? You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like a very heavy crown. Keep your head straight, it'll sit, right? If your head's crooked and you put on the crown, it'll make your head bend too, you know. Huh? Like a very heavy crown. That's good for the inyan of keser, the meat of keser. It's lamala, that's lamala from chachma and bina, right? So keser you wear on top of your head. You know, and with this we're going to get very soon, you know, to, right? You know, the Indian of the Ksarim of Nase Venishwa that Klai Yisrael had prior to the Cheta Ego. These two Madreyas, Nase, that Keser Nase, Keser Nishma, they're called Ksarim because they were above the Seichel. Right, but we can get back to that. Right? But, you know, let's just get the Yisod down. I mean, this is going to be a lot of, you're going to have to arrange this. You know, but let's get the Yisod down. Right, that the Yisod is that a person could carry, if he's a very big bar das, which means balanced in his das, he could carry, you could pile on top of him very big hasagas, and it's possible for him to work with these hasagas, even though he has not fully, he has not internalized them, they're piled on top of him. But if he's balanced, he's not going to mishandle it. And it's shaykh for him to go with it until the point where he could internalize it, and then of course you'll pile on even more asagas, right? So that's the end of the machzis hashekel. Klaizo, you know, it's called nesius rosh, that b'schus the machzis hashekel. Klaizo zeche to nesius rosh. Klaizo zeche, right, to be perfectly balanced in their das, that we could pile upon them hasagas, they're even lemalame das, and it won't break them. It won't break them. If you're perfectly balanced, you won't be breathed. You'll know, even though you're not fully masig these madregas, but you won't go wrong with them either, because you're balanced. You know how to handle. You'll know what you do know. You know what you don't know. You're a bardas. You know what you know, and what you don't know, you're going to ask someone, and you'll work with it, because you're balanced, right? And that's the end of the Machzis HaShekel. That's Mizakas to Nesius Rosh. That we can carry things on our head. Carry things Lamala Me'aro. And that's again, this Meramis to the Ksarm of Naaseh V'Nishma. It's a mention in this week's Parsha, by the way. That on Shabbos Moshe Rabbeinu gives us back the crowns. But we'll get to that, right? But that's the Nesius Rosh of Keser Nasa, Keser Nishma, that we had until the Cheta Ego. These were madrigas that were bigger than us. Right? But we're still discussing, and that's what this all connected the Keteris, which is the Reach of Besomim that there was in the time of Matan Torah, like we explained in last week's shiur. And so connected to Psalms, there was also Keser Nasa and Keser Nishma. Right? And that's the Nesius Rosh. Well, but what's it chal on? How can you pile Nesius Rosh, be Nesa on the head, carry on the head? Well, Machatzis HaShekel. If you're perfectly balanced in your Das, B'li Lin Tot Yaminu Smo, we could pile on you Asogas that are bigger than you also. But there's another tonight after that. That's the Kior. The Kior says the Beis Yaakov from Mishbitza is Siluk Hanegius. And he says that's in all the Mishbitza writings. That's the end of the Tios Yadayim. The Shorosh of it is in the Kior. Siluk Hanegius. Why your hands might be Tomei? Because you might have touched something. So even if even the Kohanim had to always do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim before every new avod, even though they were shomer their Yadayim, because you always have to do the avod of Siluk HaNegius. Being Nogea is to take off balance. That's the Negius. Negia is anti-balance. Machzis HaShekel is to be Kovea, the Indian of balance. Right? But then the Torah had to give you the Shmira of the Kior. The Kior is Siluk HaNegius, because being Nogea Ba'adavar takes you off the balance. So imagine if you pile something very heavy on, right? You pile something very heavy on, the slightest negia, the top of the whole thing, and that's the kior, which is the shmira against that. And then you could come to the Torah's point. And then after that, the Torah talks about the... Now you're ready for the Keteris. That's how you have Kalim for the Keteris. Because after you have, a balanced Das, and after you have Siluk HaNegius, to keep yourself balanced, then you can have the avoid of the Keteris that's bigger than the other. So now, it's a very important point that this is a perpetual balancing act forever and ever and ever. And the balancing act only becomes harder and harder and harder. Understand that the whole Indian of Tikkun is the Safra Tznusa, which is the Zohar and Parshas, incorporated in the Zohar and Parshas Truma, says the whole Olam HaTikkun, the whole Tikkun of the Koichas HaBrias is the Indian of the Matkula, the Mishkan, Matkal, the Mishkan, which is Mitzbaer and the Kisvei Ari, you know, both in Prat. You know, Olam HaTikon, it's all beside Mishkan, balance, right? All the different forces in the Bria all have to be active. Now, each one to do its function in Gilui Kvot Shemaim. So that's a tremendous pella, right? Because they're contradictory forces. You know, generally speaking, the Chasodim and the Gvurus. I'm not even talking about Tov versus Ra. Even in a world that's Kulo Tov and without Ra, right? It's a very delicate balancing act. Because there's Chasodim and Gvurus. I'm talking about the Gvurus HaKadoshis. I'm not talking about the dinim that come from the Sitrach. I'm talking about the Gvurus HaKadoshis. You have the Chasodim and the Gvurus, the right side and the left side. Right? The Tikkun, which is all the Iris working together, not one at the expense of the other, as opposed to the Olam HaTohu, explains the Ramchal, is when the spheres are clashing. Right? Tikkun is totally in balance. Everything working together in cooperation, and that's mamish, a balance that's kechut ha'saira. And it comes out like this. The greater the tikkun, the more and more fine-tuned the balance. Which means, you know, the greater the tikkun, the more and more delicate the state is. So first you have your going level state. First is a very coarse balance, right? And then you fine tune it more, and then you fine tune it more, and fine tune it more, and come there you come to a very delicate balance that's, you know, kachut asayla.
Rav said Bria, but the Rav means Adam over here.
But it's all the koichos also, because I mean the koichos move, you know, in a certain sync with the Adam. To the extent the Adam is metak and his midas, there's a parallel tikkun in the olamas. And when the Adam goes down, the olamas go down with him in a perfectly parallel way. Right, so you know, world peace, or even, you know, the Gar Zev and Keves, you know, even that, it's balance, right? All the koichas are there, but now they're not in the mahalach of, but all because everyone, you know, that's called balance.
Is that the meat of Tiferes, Batsam?
That is the meat of Tiferes, yeah. And that's Tiferes, the Amud Hadas, from the Anaf Hadas, right? The Amud HaEmtzais, which is the meat of Das. Chachma, the right side being on the left side, Das is in the middle. It's Shikol Das. Das is Shoikol. Right? Emes. The first is, you know, the Mida that comes from the Mida of Das. Chesed from Chachma, Gvura from Bina, Tiferes from Das. Kayadu. But you see what I'm saying? You know, the greater the refinement, the more delicate the balance. When you're weighing gold, you use very, very, very delicate scales. But it goes huadin nami. The more tikkun, the more the delicate the balance. Not just the more valuable, so the more every bit makes, a little bit makes a big difference, but it goes the other way. The etzem musig of tikkun is balance. And the greater refinement, the more you reach even a more delicate balance. You're more down to the pirtei pratim, and the pirtei pratim. The balance becomes more and more and more and more delicate. Now with this we can understand what Chazal say on the pasuk Usvivav Nisara Ma'id Hakadosh Baruch Hu Medakdek Im Svivav Kechut HaSaira. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Medakdek Right? Now you would think, listen, if you're so close to God, can't you get like some protexia going? You know? All right, so God doesn't do any protexia, but why should he judge me more harshly than anybody else? You know? I say, all right, fine, so no protexia. He's medaktik im svivav kechuta saira. No, but it's merum is already in the first part of the pasuk. Svivav. Who's the center of the bria? Right, the ribon shel olam. No. Right, who's the center? Ribon shel olam. And these are svivav, those who are around him. These are people that are closest to center. Here's an amazing thing. If you're punked in the center, close to center, the slightest netia could topple the whole building. So if you're far away, like the Russia that's so far off center, so he can even do big, big sins, it doesn't really shake the whole foundations of reality. But if your position is mamished by the nakud of center, one kechuta saira could topple the whole building. So the tzaddikim, who are called svivav, they're around center, because of their central position in reality, one false move, kechuta saira, throws off the whole cosmic balance. And that's why I call it medaktikim svivav, kechuta saira.
This is directly related to what the Rav was saying before about the rod in the scale. I hear a certain parallel going on. Do you express
the
same
rod
idea?
Yeah, the slightly off. Yeah. Kechuta saira.
It's the same.
The whole thing.
Okay. No, because we've gone through a lot in the meantime until we get to this point. I didn't know whether it's expressing that idea from another way of looking. Okay.
So I'm trying to get to that. You know, the higher the refinement, the more delicate.
Right.
The measure, as if tikkun gets as to a finer and finer tuned balance, but with that is the danger. One false move throw. If it's a very coarse balance, or if you put a chuta saira on one kaf of the moznayim, it's not going to make a difference. But if you move the central rod, kachuta saira, the whole scale is broken. And that's sviva called the tzaddikim, who are called svivav, they're around point center. So Akash was medactic with them, kechuta saira, because one false move in them, mitzad of their central position, throws off the whole bria.
It's a metzias also, in addition to that, it's a meat of a kodesh bohu to relate to them that way.
That is the reason. Right. Because they are svivav, because they are so central, so kechuta saira throws everything off. And their chuta saira could be paigim the bria, more than. Right? Now, with this, we can understand, right, a very simple question. Right? We talk about, we talk about Adam Rishon Kodem Achet, right? And we talk about Klal Yisrael before Cheta Ego, and Chazal, and in the Svarim Akdoshim, we are told that they were sort of a parallel situation of internally they were clean, the Yetzirah was Mibachutz. The Nafsh Chaim talks about this in Shaar Aleph, right? Adam Rishon, the Ra was Mibachutz before the Chet Etz Hadas, right? Right, the Ra was Mibachutz, with the Nachash, right? Embodied by Nachash. And Klai Yisrael Pask by Mamad Har Sinai, Paska Zuham Masa. Right? And then like the Nefesh HaChaim says, it's a Rashi in this week's parasha. The Sutton, made an image. They thought it was Moshe's coffin. The Yetzer was on the outside. The Mamash in a very parallel situation. The Yetzer became on the outside. The Yetzer is like from the outside doing parlor tricks. So here's a simple kasha. Right? The Nefesh HaChaim doesn't relate to this, but a simple kasha like this. if the Yetzer is not in you, it's outside of you, so why do you fall for it?
It's even more than that. How does it ever, how can it ever get in?
You're pure, right? You're pure.
Right.
You're pure on the inside.
Where is it even ever starting?
You're saying, the HR is, if you're mamish clean on the inside, which was mamish case bottom, which I don't know if Christ was mamish the same level, they're on a parallel level, but let me say, right?
Mm-hmm.
But actually, without getting too technical, if you, let's say, you're mamish clean on the inside, right? So it can't be medamit to like a salesman that sweet talks you, because you're talking about in our world where, you have your Yetzirah inside of you already, so he manipulates, the confusion that's batsim inside of you already. But we're talking about Kodem, they were mamash clean on the inside. So how did it happen? But this is what we're saying. If your shlemus is a very delicate balance, so even an outside force can topple it. A little bit of a kick from the outside can knock over the whole binyan. Now, of course, this has to be a little bit more explained. I don't know if I explained enough in the shiur, right? That be'emes, Adam Rishon, before the Chet, as well as Klai Yisrael by the Chet Egel, even though they had very, very high madregas, but they were bigger than themselves. They were balancing on top of themselves madregas that were above their hasaga. So by Klai Yisrael, the marshal is Keser Nasev, Keser Nishma, the Keser is above the head. Adam Rishon also, with all his chachma, right, but he had still not totally internalized that chachma, the shlemus. Vaharaya, he had to fight with the nachash. He had to argue with the nachash, right? The nachash is tainus, right? So because the madregas that were upon them, right, were bigger than themselves. It was a delicate balancing act. If it's a delicate balancing act, one little push can knock the whole building over. See, if it's on the outside, it's a lo mishaneh. Now with this, I didn't explain this well enough in shir, or I didn't give it enough explanation, but we're talking about now when the delicate balance is above your das, right? Right, so it's like the mushul is like, balancing something on your head. One small push can knock the whole thing over, and if it's a very heavy load, it can pull you down also. Right. So now, things that are bidas, right, bidas, so that's like the marshal of carrying things on your waist by your central, center of gravity. So that can't topple you over. But when you have madregas that are not yet internalized, so even though you're a big bal madrega, if it's not yet internalized, right? Which was the state of our Adam Rishon, even though he has a very, very high madrega, he wasn't kind of bipnimius, all of the madregas that were upon him. And that's Klai Yisrael also by Mamre Har Sinai. So even external force could. That's what we find throughout Chazal and Sfarim HaKadoshim. A little bit of negius could throw you off. And you ask, how could a big person be thrown off by a little bit of negius? Because sometimes the big person has even bigger madregas that he's balancing on his das, and that's where the negius pulls him down. Now, this is a small aspect, but it's not the main aspect. of what David Melch says, Lo alachti b'gdolos u'b'niflos mimeni. I didn't go bigger than me, you know? And what the Sforim were warn you, shouldn't learn Kabbalah before you're ready. You shouldn't go with Madregas and Chumras that you're not ready for, because when you that's mamish how it's very easy to knock a person down. But of course, most of the Azharis and the Sforim are talking about a more basic problem. They're talking about a person who's pre-machtzis ha-shekel, right? That he's bichlal not balanced. So if he takes on high Madregas, it'll crack him, right? But you should know, right? So there's Yesh L'chalik, because most of the Azharis that you find in the Musar Sforim, in the Hasidish Sforim, in the Kabbalah Sforim, don't go too fast and don't go before you're ready. Most of the Azharis are Bechlal, we're talking about that you're not even a big bar das enough to balance it. So that posting on these Madregas will Bechlal crack you because you're not any way balanced. But there's also this inyan that even a perfectly balanced person, sometimes his high Madregas, could be his downfall, because when he's just balancing them when it's balanced on his das, when it's pre-internalization, that in the process of being kinda a madrega, it's a process. First, the madrega is a little bit bigger than the autumn, and the autumn takes it on, and lot gets internalized, and then after that you hoist on another madrega and kacha zolech. At that time, when the madrega is hoisted upon him and he's balancing it, it's a big enough bardas that he could take it on, but it's daika, take it on daika, right? At that point, he's very vulnerable that, the negias could cause him not only to lose that madrega, but it could possibly pull down the whole other. Now we find, big azharis in the Sforim, that when a person is trying to attain Ruach HaKodesh, that's dafka when a sitra achor really could get him bad. But of course, when a person's really, really ready, he's got to try it. Be aware of the sakana, that the sitracha could come and try to send him false images to think that, it's a delicate state. So, Koshkin, if you're not balanced, taking it on bichlal will snap you right then and there. But even a person who's balanced, he's in a very big sakana at that time when it's because when it's post-internalization, so it's like that madrega is being carried on his belt by a center of gravity. When it's pre-internalization, where it's more begetter emuna that's being balanced on the das, the shikula das. So that's when, even a koach chitzoni, a negia, could pull him down. And that's what happened by automation. That's what happened to Klaisel in this week's parsha. And that's why these things are all in the same parsha. That Klaisel by Maimed Har Sinai, they were on a tremendously high madrega. It was not internalized yet. And that's why the negius and the ta'ut and shikul adas, v'yarav ki boishes Moshe, they made a mistake in how to count, right? They told that it could pull them down. Even though the Yetzirah was external at that time. Now there's also two bechinas, of lost level, why these problems won't happen anymore, right?
I'm sorry, is the Rav, so the Rav explained about how Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai, so that explains of what the Rav emphasized at the beginning in the questions, the Nesinus Luchos and Chet Egel and Chet Egel and Shviras Luchos. Kior Shabbos.
I didn't get the Shabbos.
Okay.
Yet. I didn't get the Shabbos yet. So I'm breaking the order slightly for seven shir.
No, I don't even know if I'm saying the right order. The Rav said a big statement, and I just want to make sure that I see how with this central
linear. No, it's all the same sugya. That when it's a very delicate balancing act, it's a slight natia can pull the whole thing down. And that's what happened. And that's why these things... The Torah is opening up about the process of being kind of madregas that are bigger than us. And then the Torah goes on to tell the story. So even like Rashi that said this all historically was commanded after Cheda Ego, but the reason why it's put before, the Fi Rashi, And so you would not that the other mafarshim would be soicer the message. The message is true of the feet of all the shitas. As you know, when you're holding in madregas that are be'etzem bigger than you, even the slightest negia could pull you down, because it's a delicate balancing act.
Now one can still ask on all of this.
Yes.
It's not fair. Right? The Rav didn't even mention, the Rav only mentioned this like aga, but kosha adam godel yitro godel.
Right.
Right? It's a little fair. You, like the Rav hinted at. Haven't I stored up a lot of zchuyot? Don't I have some protexia to be able to not let that happen? Why should it be that because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mom is on me, this, I don't know whether you want to call it an expectation or this additional but very, very very sensitive, there's a fragile das that's really above me that could cause my downfall. Where's the tzedek in that? You know, I hate to put it so simply. No, lo mi du shechem, lo mi uksecha. When a person hears this and does internalize it, so he says, so you know what? Maybe it's not worth it for me. Once I get to, let's just even keep it in simple terms, I keep ikara halacha, no madregas. I keep the ikara halacha.
I sometimes feel that way. No, especially in the sort of warn about limud a kabbalah that you right. should know
right.
the more you go
right the dangers
the
is
right, you know. Yeah
right.
yes
I mean it has to do a little bit what we were talking about the last week with Noach Adam Shelo Nivra V'achshav Shenivra, right? There's a striving that's necessarily, you know, you're supposed to reach your potential.
Yes. And that Nisayan, b'schus that nisayon, you'll internalize the madrega. I mean, if you pass the nisayon, you'll internalize the madrega, but then you're going to move on to the next one.
But in the interim, in that intermediary stage,
yes,
that's
fragile,
when it's very fragile.
You're very fragile.
Yeah.
Right. It's always right. So that's also so with this, you can also understand when you understand that after the nisayon becomes internalized, that's like carrying it on your belt as opposed to on your head, right? And then you have a new madrega on your head. So that explains what's going on with the big tzaddikim. On the one hand, you know, one false move, it's a kechut asara, but I don't expect to see Rav Yoshev in the disco. I won't see him there, right? It's like so beyond his role. So we say, Gadol gadol mechavero, yitzro gadol imeno. So the Rashiva Zichrono Livracha touched it up, I'll pee the famous story with Reuven and Bilha.
Right.
Right.
It counts as if. Right.
It counts as if. But of course, the etzem doing the dirty act of of course he's past that. That's like
right.
carrying that madrega on his belt. Right? He's carrying, but the Riboshim, his mom, is a more delicate balance of that madrega, and a more, so for him, his balancing act was to not be mabal itzoy of it. But it's the main thing. It's a hemshech, in a straight line hemshech, of that yetzar of what for me and you would be to take your father's wife, right? For Reuven, you know, which for us might be over our head, right? Nebuch, right? But for Reuven, that was, of course, by his belt, right? But the delicate hemshech that Ribosho constantly does it to. When you take a madrega, internalize it, so he hoists another one, and kacha, v'kacha. So his thing, like his hemshech of Eishes Aviv, Pelekesh Aviv, was Bilbil Yitzvei Aviv. And that's Yitzro Gadol Imeno. Your Yitzhar, people think the Yitzhar is only at the belt. No. As you grow, he grows with you. So there's the Eitzara of the belt, and there's the Eitzara that, you know, continues to grow with you. As you have Nesius Reish, he's there with you.
Right.
And that's Yitzhar Gadol. The Eitzara grows with you. Meaning, he'll challenge you at that new plane. Wherever's your Nakuda of Madrega that you haven't yet internalized. So, of course, what you've internalized already, he's given up on that, right? Because it's a... The new Madrega that's a Hemshech of that That's where he'll take you on. Like, you could never think that you left him in the dust. He grows with you, you know, and challenges you to feed your new madrega. Just the whole thing is that if he could pull you down there, he might pull you down totally, like we explained. That's the big, big sakona. That's he could pull you down. So you throw you off balance, and you not only you lose that one new madrega, you could lose everything you had also. Yeah, that's the big, big, big sakana. So just as we point out, la'asid lavoi, right? There's two different dargas of defeating the ra. We find that l'sharos and chazal that l'asid lavoi the ra, that asid the yetzer is going to become chedvasa de shmeitza. Reb Sada quotes this a lot. The events I have to find the source. The passions that we have will be geared towards Torah. It's one lashon chazal, but it's the more famous lashon of how Hakadosh Baruch Hu shochet the yetzer hara. Right now, l'maaseh it's not a stira.
That those are the two madrigas, to be shochet the yetzer hara and also transforming it into a proper passion.
Right. Okay. So now l'maaseh kacha, it's talking about two different bechinas. Now, of course, there's the way that most sfarim reconcile these two statements. As we're saying, he's there, but now he works for you, as opposed to actually shechted. He's not there anymore, right? Like Ubila Mavis Lanetzach, right? Which also comes from the Kochos Hara, right? So, the more common explanation, which I'm not being soyser, the more common explanation, just from Derech Agav, is that there's two types of Yetzer. There's what the Yetzer is mishtalet on. He's mishtalet on your passions, but passions are betzem for good. So you just take the Yetzer away. So it's not really the Yetzer if he gets converted to good, in so much as the types of stuff that the Yetzer was mishtalet on become free from him. Mm. But then the Etzem Ra is shechted. That's what most forms say. But Lefi Dvarino, we're not contradicting that, just look at it from a different angle. And that's, again, the difference between our madrigas that have been internalized as opposed to our madrigas that have not yet been internalized. Right? That our madrigas that have been internalized, those are called our wars that we've conquered. And yet now, so since those madrigas have been internalized, they're not lemala midas, they're in the das. So it's like carrying these madrigas on your belt as opposed to carrying them on top of your head, right? So of course, those are like the battles that we won, so that those, that ra could be converted litov. But in Olam Abba, the Reb Arshim doesn't want it to be a stagnant experience. That's what Chazal say. Tzarikim ein lem menucha, lo b'olam hazeh, v'lo b'olam haba. Shemar, yelchu mechayel ochayel. That, and that's the famous question, right? Do we need emunah in Olam Abba? The answer is yes. We need emunah in Olam Abba because Reb Arshim is going to be changing the shefa rapidly from second to second, right? Yelchu mechayel ochayel. That even in Olam Abba, we're going to have this process of having new iris and new iris and new iris. And maybe the process will happen very, very fast. But of course, when the new ore is first introduced, it's above your head, right? And then, maybe it'll happen very fast. It gets, internalized and reverses Megala a new ore. Otherwise, Olam Abba will get very boring. If it's the same ore, right, it'll get boring. That's what Chazal say, Ein lem menucha, right? We're not going to be resting. We're not going to be stagnating, right? The reverse is going to be Megala, new ship.
Yeah, well, why does that have to do? I didn't see it, but why?
No, so I have to.
Emunah to me always has a lot to do with Bechira, but we know that there's no Bechira in Olam Haba, yeah. So I'm not sure.
No, so there's going to be Madregas that are Lamala from Das when they're first revealed. Then they become Bedas, and then. But that process happens very fast in Olam Haba.
Yeah.
New Iris, and then that aura gets old, and then, But going from the new to the first, it's like when it's first introduced, it's a bigger hasaga than what you've ever known prior to that. And then you're masig, And then there's a new Hasaka, and then there's the whole...
Is there effort? Is there a concept of effort in that sense? So that's I see it as all combined. The being a mamin, being a bocher, being a mishtadel lahasig. Is there concept?
No, it's without effort. That's what yeshvim, but yet ein lem menucha. It's called sitting in one place. It's called ein menucha elsewhere. It means it's without effort, because all the effort was in Olam Hazeh.
Right.
But it's still an ongoing process of being Megala, new Eris, and new Eris. And of course, at the first second that the new Eris Nitgaleh, right, you have it, Kibyochon, the thing that's parallel to Emunah, because at the first second, it's a new Asoga you never had before.
Okay. In that and sense, then it's about okay.
Right.
I didn't understand what the Rav meant by Emun. Okay.
Yeah, that's the same name of Reb Chaim. You know, I bring it in my same not name of Reb Chaim, but I heard it. They say it in Reb Chaim also. Even Olam Haba, you need Emunah, because there's never having it all worked out, because there's new Hasagas and new Hasagas that the first time it's introduced, never looked at it that way before.
Right.
But it's obviously true. That's called Emunah.
Right.
You know, yeah. And then when it's internalized, it's called Das. Just in Olam Haba, it's like a very rapid, you know. The Asogas, you know, so you have to understand something, right? So even though in Olam Haba, you know, we'll have a great deal of Das, you know, the Navi talks about Umalart's Deyas Hashem, right? So Mitzad, what there's Das on, so that Yetzirah is conquered, right? So we say we conquered him. But you don't, the Ribbono Shel Olam in Olam Haba doesn't want it to be that when you're in that emuna phase that the Yetzirah should have the ability to knock you over, right? So of course that's what it means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shochet la Yetzirah, right? That in a sense that
there's no room for faltering.
There should be no room for faltering. But mitzada, you have to shech the Yetzirah. You have to shech the Yetzirah. That's the aspect of shochet la Yetzirah. The aspect of shechita is connected, is necess, that bechina, it's different bechinas, right? Of he's converted, he's shechted. But I'm just putting the bechinas in context. The bechina of shechted, as where he's incapacitated, whatever we'll call it, right? You know, that's connected when the hasagas are pre-internalized. Because it has to be an oilam where failure is impossible.
Okay.
So now, so mitzah, when it's bekinyan das, so you could say converted. When you say, you know, when it's in the phase of emunah and things are in that delicate balance, that shouldn't be like Adam Rishon Kodem Achet. You know, so mitzah, that bechina, the Yetzirah is shechted. So it's shechted mitzah that, you know, we can't, you know, kick things out of balance.
Right.
Because when it's a delicate balance, you could kick things over. So mitzad, that's what you need, the kid shechti, you know. And mitzad, the das, you can talk about, well, he's been conquered, right? But you don't, you know, but what that's, when the madriga is internalized, you can talk about conquer.
Okay.
When the madriga is yet, first nitgaleh, because that's the seder even in Olam Haba, because the hasagas are, you know, right? The Hasagas are, you know, for, you know, even in Olam Haba, even though they're happening much, and it'll happen so rapidly, but it goes, Emunah Das, going from higher Hasagas to Hasagas, the first moment where the new Hasagas is revealed, so it's over the head. And then,
we're in this world, it's a danger, it's not going to be in that world, in the next world.
There won't be a danger in the process, you know, that, but it's going mitzad that Bechina, and that's what happened to Klai Yisrael Bechet HaEgel, right? And that's why it's together. We're talking about the Keteris, that, you know, what's being balanced, you know, right? You know, Dargis, they're bigger. And that was Adam Rishon's problem, that's Kaizo, because their Dargis that they had were Lamala from their Das. They didn't have a Kinyan Gomor.
Right.
They were balancing these Madregas on their Das. And that's where even an external Yetzar, that's the Nakuda to get in. And that's where you can find, you know, the Koch of Negias. Why does Negias have such Koch? The koch of negius is in that nakuda of, in that delicate nakuda is where the koch of negius is.
Where it has
now, of course, you know, from that point he could pull the whole thing down. But that's where, yes, negius. Why can't I overcome negius? Give me some shochet. I got to feed my family. Why should it cloud my? No, of course, where negius has its tremendous effect on a person. I wash a little bit of negias have now because a little bit of negias affects here, not here. But of course, because it affects there, mitzvah could bring the whole binyan down. People don't understand why negias have such koch. I'll tell you why, because it doesn't affect, it affects you here. But it ends off with Shabbos. You know, but which Kleiser wasn't zochet to, right? But, and that's your question, and not your question, but your question, I guess, different question. Ad Masai. It's like a perpetual balancing act, and the balancing act gets finer and finer and finer and finer. But that's the end of Avodas HaMishkan. Avodas HaMishkan is, you know, more balance and more balance and more balance. Ad Shabbos. Shabbos, you know, Shabbos is Shabbos bo menucha. That's when the balancing act is over. And that if Adam Rishon would have only held out until Shabbos, his balancing act would have been over. But now, since Adam Rishon didn't hold out till Shabbos, so we await, you know, the grand Shabbos, the Elef HaShvi. The Elef HaShvi, when the Ra is bottled.
I'm sorry, until Shabbos. So, but in this world, but in for two things. First of all, when the Rav says Melechus HaMishkan, it has to do with more and more balance. I assume that what he means is that the Melechus in the Bria that we're involved with, as right,
Tikkun, right, which what we said earlier, Tikkun means moving from first from a coarse balance to
that's
a
what it represents, the Melechus HaMishkan. Okay. Right. Okay, until Shabbos. Oh. Now, after,
until Shabbos. Now, of course, by Adam Rishon, it was literally that way.
Right.
You just had to keep the balance right until Shabbos, and then, right? Right. Right, until Shabbos. Now, in the big picture now, that's the Elef HaShvi, the seventh millennium. Right?
Because it wasn't accomplished by Adam Rishon. Now it has to be redone to Gadol.
Right. But that's the original plan. The end of Avodas HaMishkan, Avoda, to bring things to a finer tune and a finer tune. You might ask Ad Masai, Ad Masai, we could always fine tune more. And then you always have this heartache of and always this sakana until Shabbos. Until Shabbos. Then kol melachtecha asuya, the work's done. And that's what Adam Rishon had to do by the first day. He just had to hold out those hours until Shabbos came in, and his balancing act would be over, right? That's called you are balanced, right? And you'll never step out of balance again. And we can keep on, piling on hasagas, and you'll never step out of balance again. And now in the big picture, that'll happen in the Elef HaShvi. But even in the, this we didn't say in the Shir, we should have said it. But even in the Svarim HaKadoshim, mainly in Sifrei Chassidus, but I think Ramchal says it also. In the Derech Hashem, right? Instead of Derech Hashem, right? Even on a small scale, you should know that if you would only be sensitive, Ruchni-wise, you should know your balancing act of this week ends at Shabbos. And on Shabbos, you get a kinyan in all those madrigas. On Shabbos, all the madrigas that you worked on during the week are internalized, comes after Shabbos, you're working on a different plateau. So even in the mini, right, the balancing act of this week, all the avodas of this week, reach a state of kinyan, gomur, when it comes Shabbos. Shabbos is a mini achris hayom. And that's the medrash in this week's parsha, that on Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu gives back the ksarim to Klal Yisrael. It's a medrash in this week's parsha also. That by Chet Egel, we lost Keser Nasa and Keser Nishma on Shabbos, which is, every Shabbos is Me'ein La'asid Lavos, Me'ein Olam Abba. So Moshe Rabbeinu gives back the ksarim. And in a certain way, it could be said, it's the Keser of this week. Right? This week's balancing act is over. Right, and Moshe Rabbeinu on this, on every Shabbos, gives us back our ksarim, kasser nasa, kasser nishma. That's what the farshim say. It's on the yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko. Why b'matnas chelko? Right, because killed first brosa satila, which are the ksarim of nasa nishma. He's happy only with his kasser nasa and his kasser nishma, and the rest of them he gives back to Klal Yisrael on Shabbos.
Yisrael. I appreciate the Rav explaining that a little bit more clearly to me. That,